Well, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Put on the whole armour of God. And here's the words I just want to highlight. That ye may be able to stand. That ye may be able to stand. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we ask thee that as we think upon these words, that we will see that in Christ we have been provided with everything that we need to be able to stand. We've been singing about Christ and his victory, and we thank thee when we're saved, we're in Christ, and we share his victory. O Lord, may we see our resources in Christ today, for it's in his name we ask it. Amen. This morning, another message by way of introduction to the various items of armor, the detailed description. I think this is necessary because Paul gives three verses of introduction to the armor. Therefore, we need to take it slowly as we go into it. And so, of necessity, I must repeat a few things that we did say last week. It's necessary, I know it is for me, necessary. Because as we sought to point out last week, thinking of recognizing our enemy, the devil is a crafty, cunning foe. He's mightier than us. He's all the different methods to trip us up. And therefore, we need to be reminded again and again of our resources in Christ. It's necessary to have another message by way of introduction, because as we come to the armor, I want us to be encouraged that in Christ's strength and with the weapons he provides, you, Christian, can be a conqueror. In fact, in the words of Romans 8, more than conqueror. Literally, a super conqueror in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to be continually overcome by Satan. And yet, if we're honest, there's times when we feel discouraged, we feel depressed, and Satan causes us to be distressed, and he causes us to look inward and see our weakness, and we feel like echoing the words of the hymn writer, see the mighty host advancing, Satan leading on, mighty men around us falling, courage almost gone, and we feel our courage is gone. But a message this morning, and the aim is it, that we may be able to stand. A message that God has given us everything we need to be able to stand, to give us confidence, to give us courage in the battles of life. One of the key verses in Ephesians is chapter 1 and verse 3. That God, and the thought is, has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. We already have the blessings. Now, we don't live in the enjoyment of them. But when Christ died on Calvary, he purchased spiritual blessings for everyone who trusts him. You are entitled by being in Christ to every spiritual blessing. And one of those blood-bought, purchased blessings of Christ that is yours, Christian, it's yours, is to overcome Satan. God has already purchased that victory for you. Now, we want to know how to enjoy it, how to experience it. And that's why we're going to look at the various pieces of the armor. But we can stand, that you may be able to stand. But to be able to stand, you must be strong in the energy of the Lord. That's the first point. You must stand strong in the energy of the Lord. There are various words in the passage, might, power, strength, be strong. And one of them is the idea of energy. In other words, we can stand. We've no energy of our own to stand. But what Paul is saying, be strong in the Lord. In other words, you can stand in him. You can be strengthened by his energy. And that's why I read in chapter 1. Do you remember what we read? Paul is praying to God the Father that these believers in the city of Ephesus, some of them are not long saved, some of them Gentiles, former pagans, Lord, that you would strengthen them with the same strength that raised the Savior from the dead. You think of the mighty power that raised the body of our Savior out of the grave, and then as a Spirit was reunited with his resurrected body that exalted him far above all principalities and powers, that placed him at his right hand in heaven to rule this universe. You say power? There's no power like that. And Paul's praying, Father, I pray that those believers there in Ephesus may experience in their lives that same mighty power that raised Christ. Oh, this morning, we can be energized. If you happen to notice in chapter 3 and 16, Paul prays a similar prayer for them. He prays a similar prayer. It's amazing how often Paul prays for the believers. And in chapter 3, he bows his knees to the father of the family. And in verse 16 of chapter 3 of Ephesians, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. There's the riches again. To be strengthened with might, to be energized, that means, by his Spirit in the inner man. So I'm saying, we can stand against the devil because we can be strong in the energy that he gives. Now I want you to notice, if your Bible's still open, to chapter 3 and 16. It says to be strengthened, to be strengthened. You call that, if you remember in school, passive. In other words, we can't strengthen ourselves. We can't strengthen ourselves. It's not something that we do. We can't grit our teeth and say, I'm going to be strong. You are strengthened. That's passive. And when we go now to chapter 6 and our text, that you may be able to stand, you see the verse before 10 says, be strong, and it might not seem it from our translation here, but it's the same thought. Be made strong. Don't misunderstand what Paul is saying. Paul isn't standing, now you Christians need to stand up and be strong, as if it's something that we do. Oh, we're conscious that we're not strong, but say, oh Lord, strengthen me. He's saying, you can be strong in the energy that the Lord gives you. Now, we're to seek it. We're to be actively standing in that strength, but we're trying to underline the energy isn't ours, the power isn't ours, the strength isn't ours. Therefore, you must be in Christ. You must be in the Lord to be energized by the Lord. If you're not saved this morning, you're still listening to Satan's lies. You're still held captive by Satan. You cannot know his power to overcome Satan until you're born again. You need to come and trust him as your Lord and Savior. You need to be born again. You need to be put into Christ. If you're not saved, trusting in him this morning, you're without Christ. You need to be in the Lord. But then secondly, you need to recognize your own weakness. You see, too often we're proud. And sometimes we think, well, I've been saved for decades now. I'll not be tripped up by Satan the way these young, immature Christians are tripped up. If you think you're standing, take heed lest you fall. That's not how you stand against Satan. Because the very place where you think you're strong, that's where you'll fall. Isn't that right? Do you remember Peter? Peter didn't realize his own weakness. And the Lord said to Simon, Simon, Satan had desired to have you, to sift you like wheat. Simon, you're going to deny me. And Peter thinks, me? I'm the courageous disciple. And so he was. Wasn't he the always one always spoke out? These others might deny you. James, John, Andrew, Philip. Not me. Not me. And what did Satan do? Satan tempted Peter at his weakest point because he tempted him at his strongest point, which was his weakest point. Are you with me? Saying you're talking in riddles. No, I'm not. Listen carefully. Peter was tempted at his weakest point because Satan attacked what Peter thought was his strongest point. You see, if we think we're strong, that's where we're really weak. That's where we're weak. Peter thought, I'm the courageous one. I'm not the sort of man to run away. But he did. We are never, never strong in ourselves. We need to recognize we are weak. Standing in the strength, the energy he gives, is a Christian who recognizes I am weak. I'm weak. And without the Lord supporting me, I fall. I bring dishonor upon the Lord's name. O Lord, today energize me with that resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead. For Lord, unless you energize me with your strength, I'll not be able to stand against Satan's methods. I'll fall. I'll bring shame to the cause of Christ. Yes, we cannot strengthen ourselves, but we strengthen ourselves in the Lord. I think of David. You remember David? 1 Samuel 30. He and his men were away in a battle. They came back and the enemy had taken away their wives and their goods, their belongings. You know what it says? David was greatly distressed. Greatly distressed. And his men thought of stoning him. He's really distressed. But you know what you read in verse 6 of that chapter? He was greatly distressed, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. He didn't encourage himself. He didn't say, oh, I got to take courage. He encouraged himself in the Lord. In other words, as he thought about the Lord and the great power of the Lord gave him the strength to pursue the enemy and to win the victory. You see, you must be in the Lord. You must know your weakness. You remember what the Lord said to the disciples? You're like the branch on the vine. Without me, that means apart from me, ye can do nothing. Remember Paul had great visions? And Satan came, a messenger of Satan, to buffet him. God wouldn't remove it, even though Paul prayed. You know what the Lord said? I'm allowing it to stay so that you'll know my grace is sufficient. It humbled Paul. And Paul came to learn that when I am weak, then I'm strong. What I'm saying, Christian, do you realize how weak you are? God forbid that we'll get so proud that we think, well, Satan, no problem. Oh, that sin, such and such a Christian fell into. Oh, well, I would never do that. I'm too strong for that to happen. Oh, we are weak. We are weak. And we must prove the Lord's strength. We must prove the Lord's strength. What I mean by that, well, you remember when David went out to meet Goliath, what did he say? When Saul wanted him to take his armor? No. I've already proved the Lord. I've already fought against the lion and the bear. He'd already proved and practiced the strength of the Lord. Oh, do you know what it is this morning to be energized? To be strong in the energy of the Lord. Ah, but secondly, to be able to stand against Satan, we must be supplied with the Lord's equipment. We must be supplied with the Lord's equipment. Well, a classic verse on that. If you don't know it, you want to turn to 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. I'm sure most of you will know it when I read it. This is what we mean, and this is a great commentary on the point. In 2 Corinthians 10, Paul speaks again that, yes, we're in the body, but we don't war against Satan after the flesh. And then in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 10, watch it. For the weapons, 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, the weapons, our armor of our warfare are not carnal, they're not worldly things, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you know we have the mightiest weapons at our disposal? Right, when you go, when an army goes out to fight, you want to have the right weapons. You want to have the best weapons. That's why they're always developing more and more of these electronic weapons, these missiles and so on. You need the strong weapons, and God is telling us that He's giving us powerful weapons, mighty weapons. You see, the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Do you realize this morning? Here's the encouragement and blessing. You this week, Christian, will be able to stand against Satan when you stand and strong in the energy he gives, and when you use his weapons. God has given you, he supplied effective weapons that will destroy the enemy. Yes, Satan is strong. Yes, he has methods. Yes, he has weapons, but they're not sufficient against the Lord's weapons. His weapons are mightier. That's the point we're making. Now, when you come to chapter 6, and we will look at various pieces of the armor, most commentators will say, well, Paul obviously got this illustration from the Roman soldier who was guarding him. And possibly one or maybe more Roman soldiers would have been with him there in the prison. It was the soldiers guarded a prisoner like Paul. And he would have seen the outfit, the armor that the Roman soldier wore. Well, that's only part of it. That's not the only place where Paul got this illustration. Paul did not get this illustration of the armor solely from looking at the soldier. That put it in his mind, yes, but he got it because he knew his Bible and he knew his Lord and Savior. That's how he could describe the pieces of the armor that he had. And I'll prove it to you just of time to turn to one reference here. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 11. And I'll just mention the others to you. Do you remember what the first item was? I should have read it if you're not familiar in Ephesians 6. Do you remember what it was? The girdle of truth. Now here's Isaiah 11. It's obviously a prophecy of the Savior. The one who will come, the root of Jesse, the ensign of the people. To him shall the Gentiles trust. Now look at verse 5 of Isaiah 11. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. By the way, reins means your kidneys. We'll talk about that when we get into the belt. But turn back to Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God, ye may be able to stand. And what do you do? Well, in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Paul's thinking of the Savior. It's prophesied of the Savior. He would have that girdle of truth about him, of righteousness. And when you go through the book of Isaiah, do you know what you find? The verse we mentioned last week, Romans 13. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the description of the armor really is a graphic way to illustrate the Christian putting on Christ. Christ is our armor. He is our armor in the various aspects of our life. He is the armor. He is. Let me go over some of them with you, for time will not turn to them. Isaiah 59 and 17, the Redeemer of Zion. Listen, he put on righteousness like a breastplate. We're going to talk about the breastplate. Isaiah 59 and 17 says the Messiah will wear a helmet of salvation upon his head. What does Paul mean when he says in Ephesians 6, wear the helmet? He's thinking how Christ, as it were, put on a helmet of salvation. You put on Christ. He's the captain of our salvation. Isaiah 52 and 7. How beautiful are the feet of what? Him that publisheth peace. Primarily, that's Christ. It applies to those preaching the gospel. But primarily, it's Christ. There you've got the feet. What about the shield? Well, you remember Genesis 15 and 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, Abraham, the Lord is thy shield. Christ is our shield. What about the sword? The Word of God. Who is the Word of God? Yes, you say the Bible. Ah, but it's Christ is the incarnate Word. This book speaks of Christ who is the Word. The Word was with God. Can you see the supplied equipment means Christ? And with Christ we win. And we'll look at the armor, because of course it teaches us many, many lessons. Being supplied with the Lord's equipment means in every trial and in every temptation by faith, you turn to Christ, you cry out in your weakness, Lord, I'm tempted, I'm about to succumb, Satan is no match for me, but oh God, give me the power of Christ and enable me to stand. That ye may be able to stand. Oh, listen, we can be strong, strengthened in Christ's energy. We can be supplied with the Lord's equipment. And therefore, you need to be standing against the Lord's enemy. Our text says that ye may be able to stand, goes on, against. You have to stand. Now, we don't stand on our own strength, but you have to stand. And you know in our text that ye may be able to stand. Again, it's what we call a continuous. You ever met a Christian that say, oh, I remember when I stood for the Lord. And I remember that time I stood up for Him. Or I used to stand for the Lord. And I know what they mean. But listen, it's bad if it's only we used to. We need to be standing now. That ye may be able to be continually standing. Why? Because Satan fights dirty. Satan fights dirty. Do you ever read military history and the battles? And you read about this army and the line. It's almost as if they agreed beforehand where they were going to fight. Right? And the two armies line up on different hills. And then that's not the way the devil fights. He fights when you don't expect it. He can attack you from the rear as Amalek did with the children of Israel at their weakest point. You never know when he'll attack. You never know when he'll attack. He'll come at you at all times in all different ways. So you must be continually standing. Are you standing right now? Are you standing right now? Today in this meeting, are you conscious that you are standing against Satan? When you go to work tomorrow, whatever you do, are you consciously realizing that in Christ you will be standing against every onslaught of the evil one, every temptation when he comes as an angel of light, when he comes as a roaring lion? Are you standing? You need to be constantly prepared. Some of you probably do have in your home different, you know, the mottos. Remember years ago, I think a teenager or sometime, my father first got our clan name, Johnston, the clan name, and you get this crest and whatnot, and the tartan and so on. Never worn a kilt yet, though. But they've got the tartan and so on. I think we've a tie somewhere, actually. And they have, in the Latin, the motto, and I'll not try and quote it in Latin, but in Latin, it reads, of course, doesn't translate exactly, never not prepared. Of course, we tell our children don't use double negatives. Never not prepared. But you know what it means? Well, it's the same thought as a popular Scottish thing, aye ready. You've heard of that one. Certain football team. But anyway, and there's also some regiments have that, and actually a regiment in Canada. Yes, a Scottish regiment has that as its motto, aye, ready. We're always ready, and that's the Christian. We're to be always ready because you never know when Satan is going to attack. And we need to stand firm in the battle. even when others are going. I love the story of Shammah. I'll not turn to it, but Shammah in the Old Testament was a mighty man of David in 2 Samuel 23. It speaks about him and the Philistines gathered together, and he had a field. He had a field. As if he said, "You're not getting it." Like a Thrawn Ulster man, wasn't he? "You're not getting it." And the Philistines came and he stood. It says he stood. He stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. Ah, but then it says, and the Lord gave him a great victory. Isn't that wonderful? You'll read that in 2 Samuel 23:11 and 12. He determined, "You're not going to take it." And he defeated them. But it was the Lord energized him and gave him the victory. Oh, that we'd have that same readiness to stand, that we would be standing. Listen, it's not a matter of letting go and let God. That's an expression some people use. If by that you mean, "Oh, well, there's really nothing to fight. The Lord does it all and we don't." No, no. It is only in the energy of the Lord. And it's not by gritting our teeth in our own strength. But listen, we have to be involved in the fight. Costs. Costs. Costs blood, sweat, and tears. And it costs the church. Oh, the church suffers. When Christ won the victory over Satan and crushed his head, Christ suffered. Because Satan is pictured, according to Genesis 3:15, bruising, biting the Savior's heel. Cost, there was suffering, and it'll cost. I think this comes to mind, having Bill here this morning. Some years ago, we were in Cameroon, and Bill had read up a lot and knows the history of it. As we went down a road near the coast, he was able to tell me of the different number of missionaries who died. My, when they went there in the 1800s, disease was so rife. Some missionaries only lived a few months. Say to yourself, well, that's a closed mission field. Do you know, even though news came back of missionaries who had died after just a few months, more and more volunteered to go. More and more volunteered to go. I'm not sure if it's there or somewhere else in Africa that missionaries packed their belongings in coffins, carried their coffins with them, not expecting to live too long in the mission field. What's that? That's be standing against Satan. Oh, it costs. I'm not implying here, oh, you just let go and let God and there's no fight for us to do. There's no cost. There's no sacrifice. That's not what we're saying. But we're saying it's not in our strength. It's in the strength God gives us. It's using his weapons. But we have to be standing. We have to be prepared to stand against him and to oppose him. But we can stand. That's the point I want to leave you with this morning. The Apostle Paul was able to say in 2 Corinthians 2:14, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ." Listen, we can. Don't be discouraged today. Yes, Satan has defeated us. We admit it with shame. But we can stand. We can have the victory. Each victory will help us some other to win. We can know the victory in Christ, and you will be like the incident that they tell about military history. Baker Company, United States Army, Korean War, early 1950s. And Baker Company got isolated and they weren't sure where they were they still alive or what was happening. And finally, over the radio at HQ, they heard the call coming. And one of the men said, "Sir, it's Baker Company. I think I have them on the radio." And then, "Baker Company, do you read me?" "Read you clear. This is Baker Company." "What is your position, Baker Company?" "Well, the enemy is in the east of us. The enemy is in the west of us. The enemy is to the north of us. And the enemy is to the south of us." And there was a pause. And then with determination, the soldier said, "The enemy's not going to get away from us. The enemy's not going to get away from us." Do you ever feel like that army surrounded? Satan has you surrounded. Well, listen, if we realize what we have in Christ, you can have confidence and courage that you're going to win, because we fight in the strength of our King. May God give us the confidence to stand up for Christ. Let's turn in our hymn book.